is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, Woody, one of our favorites. I'll tell you what, entertaining, Bo, this guy. Pete Prisco, senior NFL columnist CBS.
Doesn't he like to be called Pretty Pete Prisco?
He is pretty.
Doesn't he demand that sometimes.
He does sometimes. Okay. Right. Pete, good morning. How you doing?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Man, we're doing all right. You going to practice today?
I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Hey, by the way, so now that Travis Hunter got nicked up a little bit, I guess he could have played. I heard everything. Anybody cutting back on that? He's going to play 100-plus plays a game on offense and defense, or same thing goes? You think that team reevaluates that a little bit?
No, I think the plan is to play him all the plays on defense and then, you know, maybe 60% of the plays, 70% of the plays on offense.
Wow.
I think that's the plan.
Wow.
And you're right. I mean, from an endurance standpoint, it's not going to be an issue. I mean, the kids, it's strange how he doesn't get bothered by it. When I talked to him at camp, it was 101 that day, and he came over and he sat with me right after practice, and he had been doing stuff on both sides. I said, hot enough for you out there? He goes, it's not too bad. And I'm like, what? I mean, because you know me, I like the heat, but it was hot.
Yeah.
Brutally hot. And so they tell me he has the lungs of a marathon runner. So that's not going to be an issue. The issue is, does the body hold up? And that's going to be the biggest question. But they plan to play him on both sides of the ball a lot.
Yeah. It's just, look, I'm like, we talk about like the
Ohtani.
I like the pitching and hitting. And in this, you know, I can relate to this with Travis, but man, I mean, you know, I remember he played 60 plays, especially in the heat. I couldn't imagine
doubling that number.
But look, and the guy, I haven't seen him in person, but when I see him, he's kind of a slight guy. He's not a big guy, right?
He's not a thick guy at all.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, I mean,
but here's the other thing, though, Bo. You know this. The corners don't tackle a ton anymore.
No. Hey, look, really, with the corners, you need to worry about hamstrings and stuff like that, right? For the most part,
correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So all that kind of stuff, and then, but it's, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I would like to see him go both ways. It's just, I'd like to see him. You know, I'd hate to see him a month in being out for 8 weeks. You know what I mean?
Hey,
I want to see the guy play because I like him on both sides of the football.
Here's the other part of it. What happens if he plays a couple of years on both sides and he's outstanding at both, right? Let's just say he's all-pro corner and a receiver who catches 60 passes with 8 touchdowns. How do you negotiate that next contract?
Well, I'll tell you what, he's going to get paid. You're going to keep doing that. He definitely going to get paid. What would be realistic numbers in year one? For you, just watching him out there, what would be realistic? Like 4 picks, 3 picks?
I think, you know, four picks is about right. I'm telling you, he's a natural corner. He's a better corner than he is as a receiver.
Okay.
As a receiver, he's got great hands, and he has a great feel for sitting down in zones. The thing that he's worked on and he needs work on is the route running. And, you know, because he was very raw at Colorado, and it's clear that, you know, Edgar Bennett's been a wide receiver coach for a long time. He worked with Devontae Adams, who's maybe the best route runner in the league. And so I think they'll get him going on that, but it might take a year. So I think 4 picks on defense and maybe 50 catches on offense, you know, 45, 50 catches on offense.
Hey, Pete, I'm looking at the depth chart in Jacksonville, and I'm thinking, what kind of team is it going to be? You know, I mean, you look at, you know, you've got Trevor Lawrence, Etienne. I don't know what he's going to do, but I always liked him coming out of college. But you know, I don't think he's fumbling in the end zone at the end of the game. About the rest of that team, it's kind of been a mystery to me, that team.
Yeah, and I think, you know, offensively, you know, look, Trevor Lawrence, and you'll see it today, mechanically, they fixed him, I think. Mm-hmm. I thought he was always a long strider. His motion was a little elongated. And when I saw him in camp and in minicamp, I thought it was quicker, faster. He said they worked on it, the footwork. And then you wonder if it carries over to the game. And since you've seen him in the games, it's carried over. And so that's a good sign. So I think he'll be good. I think the passing game could be really good. De'Ami Brown's had a great summer. You know, it gives them some speed, and Brian Thomas is going to be a 1A. I mean, he's big time player. That's a guy that they didn't use enough early last year, and he's become a big-time player. So the passing game is going to be really good. You know, you mentioned ETN. I tell you what, they got a kid, a rookie, Tootin, that I think is the real deal. I mean, he's got home run speed from Virginia Tech, knows how to cut. I think ultimately at some point this season he takes over as the lead runner. The question is the offensive line. And they've shuffled guys around. They spent money there. They brought in Hainsey, you know, McCary at right guard. And they've had competition all throughout camp. But how good are they? I think that's the question. They look better. They're coached better. So I think they might be pretty good offensively. Defensively, the question is the middle of the defense. And, you know, Mason Smith and Eric Armstead have been out all summer. They're, you know, Eric Armstead might be playing the old veteran game. I mean, they say he has a back, but he's gonna be one of their defensive tackles along with Mason Smith. But I think the important thing is, can they stop the run? I mean, they've had problems over the last couple of years stopping the run. So I think that's the number one priority for that team.
Tony Boselli gets a big role. I didn't see that one coming, to kind of over the top of the general manager to kind of set the tone and reset this thing. Did that surprise you, number one, and how involved is Tony?
Didn't surprise me. You know, I did a radio show with Tony for 9 years in Jacksonville every Monday. And, you know, I put him in, you know, he's actually an employee of the team. So I used to put him in some very bad positions, and I love doing it. And kind of like I do with you, Joe.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
but only we did it.
Hi, Ann. I know. That was Pete. I wasn't me, Ann. Damn it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And by the way, that was I do it with him for 2 hours, so think about that for a second. So, I mean, it was just like a layup. But now, you know, look, he always wanted to get into that side of it. There were a couple of years ago he had an opportunity where he thought he might get back into the football, or get into the football side of it, and then it got squashed by the other guy. And so I think it was a smart move by the owner. The owner didn't really have anybody in the building that he could lean on for a lot of stuff. He'd go right to the general manager. Well, the general manager was playing the general manager's angle, and so it never worked out that way. So I think it's a good buffer between GM, coach, and owner, and Tony's embraced it. I mean, you'll see him today. He's embraced the entire process. He loves it. He's been involved in it, actively involved in it. He's not making the football decisions, but he's in on all that stuff, and I think he's really come to grips with what he is. And look, he oversees a lot of the stuff in that building, and I think that's important for them.
Can we jump into your prediction for the top seven playoff spots? Here we go. Bills, number one. Chiefs, number two. Bowie's got Ravens, three. Yeah. Texans, four. They've been winning that division. I get that. The three wild card, Broncos, okay. Six, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And the last spot, he went total homer. He went back up to Jacksonville.
Right
there, huh? He went from four wins.
Why?
Let me hear.
Let me explain to you. Because that division stinks. And, by the way,
you know, it's not a very entertaining division, to be honest with you. I mean,
no, it's not.
It's like a New Orleans.
We don't have a lot of room to talk about divisions.
Well, look,
the division's bad. Let's just be real. The division's bad. I mean, you got a rookie quarterback in Cam Ward starting in Tennessee. You got Daniel Jones starting for the Colts. And then you got in the Texans. I worry about the Texans' offensive line. I really do. I mean, it was a problem last year.
There's not a marquee team in that.
No.
It's just like, oh, okay, you know, so okay, this is, you know,
yeah.
Midwest. Well, I don't know. It just
9 or 10 wins could get it done again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think 9 wins. I think Jacksonville could win 9, and I think the Texans could win 9. I don't think any of them will win in 10 or 11. I'll be honest with you. I just don't. It's not a good division. Whereas you know, in your division, Buffalo's going to run away with it with 14 or 15 wins, and everybody else is going to be looking up at them.
Hey, you know what's funny? We were talking about this early this morning. I wanted to run this by you. We all agree Josh Allen's one of the best players in football and the MVP. Who's the second best player on a team? I heard somebody say they just got a lot of really good players. And I started going through that roster on both sides. I can't tell you who the second best player is. There's no
on that team?
Yeah.
Just the left tackle's probably
Dawkins.
Yeah. And he's one of the better left tackles in the league.
Running back.
Running back. Yeah, he's good, but I don't know, you know. Bosa, when he's healthy, I mean, they got him in bubble wrap until December.
Yeah.
That's what they don't care about.
Joey's on his lap. You know, he's on that Twilight Tour.
I think they're really policing his program to get him through the season.
I think they need to. I mean, his history over the last couple of years, is just, you know, you get him on the field, and if he can play at that level,
plays great.
But he plays great. But you know, he's in and out, which is he's been in the league for quite a while now.
Yeah, here's the other thing about that team. They're the only team in the league, I think I've heard this in years. All 10 of their top offensive linemen came back this year. That doesn't happen.
No.
So there's where they have strength on the offensive line. And by the way, defensively, the two rookies they added in the middle, the Sanders kid from South Carolina and Walker from Kentucky, big body kids. All of a sudden now you look at their defense, they're deep on that defensive line now too. You know, Russo looks like, I mean, he's gigantic. And then you get Bosa, you get, you know, the Hoyt kid, he's going to be suspended for 6 games. Okungjobi's going to be suspended. But when they all come back and, you know, after 6 games, they're going to have to cut a good football player. That's how deep they are on that defensive line. So the corner still remains a concern. You know, Hairston got banged up, the first-round pick, and he's been out for a while. But I think, as a whole, you're right. They don't have a star on defense that you go, okay, fourth quarter, who do we identify? Got to block him and make if we have a chance to move the football. They don't have that.
Yeah,
but they will come at you in waves on both offensive and defensive line.
The other thing, much like you could take the top four, very well coached team, right? I mean, the coaching on that team to me is among the top five.
They put their guys in a good position.
Yes, they do.
They put them
in a position to win. Yeah.
Yeah, Joe Brady's going to be a head coach as an offensive coordinator. I don't think there's any question about that. What he's done for Josh Allen and cut down the mistakes is big. And then on the other side, Bob Babich is a good young defensive coordinator. And then they have Aaron Cromer as their offensive line coach. He might be one of the best, if not the best, in the league. So you're right. The coaching matters, and I think that shows up with the Bills.
Hey, speaking of four-win teams, people love the Patriots right now, and of course they the overreaction to preseason football you talk about all the time. What do you think of the Patriots and how quickly can this thing come together with all that money they spent?
Yeah, I think they're a year away. I think they're going to be feisty, competitive, tough. They're going to be a hard out every week for everybody in that division and whoever they play. But I think they're a year away from pushing for something more and, you know, pushing the Bills. I just do. I think when you have that new group coming together, it's hard to bring them all together quickly like that. And then, you know, the offensive line still has some major questions. You're starting a rookie left tackle and you know, there's some other questions on that offensive line. So I think a year away is where they are. But, boy, I tell you what, they're going to be a tough out week in and week out because, you know, Vrabel's going to bring that physical style and he's going to bring that mentality to the team. And you also have a heck of a second-year quarterback who I think is going to take a leap forward.
So how do you stack up the AFC East?
Do you really want me to say that?
Yeah, no, we want you. I want to hear this.
Number one, Buffalo's number one. I think New England will push for two, probably put them at two. I probably put the Jets at three, and I probably put Miami at four.
Ooh, yeah.
No, Pete's been consistent, though.
You're on Miami radio. I mean, hey, come on, Pete.
I mean, I said that when I was there for training camp and we did our hits. I said that on the air and every Miami Dolphins in the world got all over me. So I said they were the worst team in the division.
Look, I do, when you say New England.
They're better in some spots, though. I give them that. That defensive line could be nasty in Miami.
Look, I agree. I think New England, I think they did well in free agency and I think they did well in the draft.
They better do real well, right tackle.
But they need a year to mature, right? That's kind of.
Yeah, and then the Jets. You know, the Jets have a good roster, but is Fields going to take?
Yeah.
You know, that's the question there. And then in Miami, you have questions in the secondary. I mean, my gosh, I mean, there's a ton of questions back there. And then the offensive line has to come together. I think that's a major question too. And by the way, I love what I've seen from Paul. You know, you guys know. I told you I love Paul when he came out. He was one of my favorite guys, and he's been good. He's going to be really good.
Yeah.
Pete, it's great having you, man. I'll see you out there. I'm gonna save a seat. Bo and I are gonna save a seat up there in the corner so we can get you going a little bit. All right.
You know me. I'll be going. That's for sure. All right, guys.
We know that. Pete Prisco, thank you, bud. Senior NFL columnist for CBS joining us this morning. You had to ask him that last question. And you knew. You're sitting here laughing. Oh, here he goes. Yeah. He's not feeling great about the Miami Dolphins.